I want to share something with you this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. I want to share something with you as I was studying over this, reading the last few weeks. And I just saw some things here that I want to share with you this morning. As we go into a new year, I want to speak to you this morning on overcoming the challenges to achieve the goals of 2020. Overcoming the challenges to achieve the goals of 2020. Now, if the Lord tarries His coming, we will have a brand new year Wednesday. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'll look back and this past year in particular has been a difficult, I won't say, maybe difficult's not a good choice of words. It's been a challenging year in my life. It's been a challenging year in my wife's life also. We've faced some health issues. There's been some times that I really didn't know what to do or and I would worry. I know we don't like to use that word, and especially among Baptists, we're concerned. But I'll be very honest with you. There was times when I would worry, when I'd wake up in the middle of the night. Now, if you're a lot more spiritual, then that's great. But I'm just telling you about me. And I would worry over things that I had no control over. You know, what if, you know, what if the doctor says this, what if the doctor says that? But anyway, in this portion of Scripture this morning, I'll give you a little bit. Moses has died. Moses had gone to be with the Lord. And now Joshua is the one that the Lord has told that He will lead this people into the promised land. Now, this just wasn't a people of 100 or 200 or 300, even 500. It's estimated that there was close to 2 million people that Joshua would be leading into the promised land. God had promised these people this land. He promised it to Abraham. And they were just here just in a little bit as we read this. They were just a few steps away from going over into the promised land. God promised Joshua, just as He promised Moses, that He would be with him, that He would lead him and He would guide him, and He would told him several times, and if you look back in Scripture, and that He told him, no, don't be afraid, Joshua. You just be courageous. You don't be afraid, Joshua. And I think that's important for us to understand. Sometimes we don't want to admit to the Lord that we're afraid. But He already knows when we're afraid. And He told Joshua, Joshua, don't you be afraid. Because I'm going to do a great work with you just as I did with Moses. Then they sent the spies out. They sent two men out to look over Jericho and all that the area there. Jericho was a stronghold. We read about Rahab, the harlot, and how she hid those two spies. And then the spies come back and they give a report in chapter number 2 in verse 24. You can see that. They give a report and it's a positive report. We can take this. This is ours. This is what God has promised us. So let's start here in chapter number 3 and read and start in verse number 1. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. Now that 2,000 cubits is roughly a half mile, okay? So I'll just give you some information there. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all your blessings to us, Lord. Now, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me exactly the words that I need to say. I pray, Lord, if there be one here that's lost, they've never trusted Christ, I pray that this will be the day that they give their heart and life to him. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as your people, that you would speak to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, through this portion of Scripture, that you'd help us to understand, Lord, that you are King, King of all kings, Lord of lords. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we face this new year. But Lord, we may face some things before this day's over. We don't know, but we know you do. And I pray that you'd help us in Christ's name. Amen. Now, let me give you a little thing about the Jordan River. Here they are. They've come up to the Jordan River. And the Jordan River typically is about 100 feet wide. And at normal running of the Jordan River, it's probably anywhere from 3 to 8 feet in depth. But this was not a normal time. It was a time of the season of harvest. There was the melting snow of the mountains of Lebanon, and so the River Jordan had become a raging river. It was out of its banks, and it was swift. If you know anything about when there's a flood or whatever, the water gets very, very rapid, and it can be very dangerous. So here they are. They've come up to the Jordan River. They're just a few steps away from crossing over into the Promised Land. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine all of the anticipation? Finally, after all of the wandering and all of the, after every, the wandering in the wilderness and how God had to chastise the people. And after all of this, they are about to see God's promises fulfilled. But there's an obstacle. And that obstacle is the Jordan River. Now, probably without, I'm just speculating here, there would probably been some people that would have made it through, but there would probably been some people that would have perished. But here's the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about. God knew exactly what they were facing in that obstacle when they came upon it. God told Joshua, today, I'm going to magnify myself in you, and the people will see that you are my chosen one. And here's some things that I want you to understand, and these are some things that I want you to tell the people to do, but there's some prerequisites. And I will take you across. First thing I want you to see this morning is action must be taken. Action must be taken. We're getting ready to face a new year. We don't know what this new year may bring, and as I said before, we don't know what this day will bring. Before this day's over, we may have an obstacle, we may face some challenges, we don't know. But as we think about the year 2020, what do we want the Lord to do with us? What do we want the Lord to do in our lives? Well, there's some things this morning, three things that I saw here, and you probably could see more things than that, but action must be taken. You see, we can talk a big talk. We can do all of these things and we can say, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. But it comes down to the fact of the matter, action must be taken. You as a doctor, okay, you understand. Sometimes you see a patient and you know the action that must be taken, but if you don't take it, you can't help them. action must be taken. Look in verse number 1. Look what Joshua did. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, well, the Bible doesn't say, well, he waited till midday or afternoon. The Bible doesn't say that Joshua walked out to the River Jordan and speculated, well, how are we going to do this? The Bible just says, Joshua arose early in the morning. Boy, it'd do us well every day of our life to rise up early in the morning and get with the Lord, wouldn't it? Because we don't know the challenges and the things that we're going to face for that particular day. But Joshua rose up early. He didn't procrastinate. He just trusted God and His strength and wisdom, because the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. And Joshua, I am going to show myself strong through you today, so that when these people see what I'm about to do for you, the wonder that I'm about to do, they will know that you are my man and that I have put you in charge. I want them to follow you. I want them to obey you. But more than that, I want them to understand that you are obeying me. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, if we could get that in our hearts? That no matter what we face, no matter what challenges we come upon, I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to obey Him. You say, well, what can the Lord do in my life? Just as He did in Joshua's life. The Lord showed the people what He was going to do and what he was about to plan to do, and after it was all over, what He did. And the Lord can do that in our lives. If we'll just get in earnest, if we won't procrastinate and we'll just say, Lord, I'm going to do what You want me to do today. I'm going to go where You want me to go today. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, a lost and dying world will see that in our lives. Other believers will see that in our lives. This morning we read in Sunday school the Psalm 47. And I think so many times we forget that God is King of all the earth. He's sitting on His throne in heaven, and He's ruling and reigning, and there's nothing, absolutely, positively nothing, that takes Him by surprise. Did He know about this situation at the Jordan River? Oh, absolutely. You see, the thing that's hard for me to comprehend is He knew about it before He even spoke this world into existence, before He even created Adam. He knew about that river. He knew about it. So take action. The second thing is to wait in God's presence. Verses 3 and 4. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. People, when you see the Levites, the priest, take up the ark, when you see them start to move, you move. But there's some stipulations to that. You're not to be but so far back. You're supposed to be this far. That is roughly, as I said a few minutes ago, about a half mile. As I was coming to church this morning, I kind of just in my mind thought about that. And if you go out and you look across these fields, and you try to determine about from where you're standing where a half mile would be, and it's amazing of what you can see. What was the purpose of that? Why did they just not all gather up, you know? Because that ark was a symbol of God's presence and God's leadership, and they were to follow it. Just that they had through the wilderness, and God had brought them out of Egypt. He had a cloud that they followed. They had a pillar of fire that they followed, that God was with them. It was a symbol. You are to follow this, but you stay back. Because if you don't, you're going to get off path. You stay back to where you can see that ark. You can see the priest carrying it, and you follow that. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning it would do us well, not to try to get in front of God, not to try to get up beside of Him so many times, but just follow him. Have you ever been around people that are followers? Have you ever been around people that are leaders? Most people, when they come out to try to follow somebody, everybody wants to bunch up and everybody wants to be together. But see, in following God, sometimes we try to get ahead of him. We act like we know more than he does. But God said, this is what I want you to do. When you see the Levites, the priests, take up the ark, you start moving, but you stay back so that you can see, because you've never been this way before. Ladies and gentlemen, in the year 2020, we'll go down some paths that we've never been before. We'll see some things that we've never seen before. And instead of trying to get up and trying to rush and trying to get out in front of God, it would do us well to just stay back and say, Lord, I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go the direction that you want me to go. And sometimes God's direction is not just straight. Sometimes it takes us on a different pattern. You see, your path and my path have been different. And probably in the future, your path, you'll go places tomorrow that I won't go, and I'll go places you won't go. But the main thing here is waiting God's presence. The Israelites didn't know where to go because they'd never passed that way before. All they had was a promise of God that I'm going to take you into the promised land. They'd never been that way before. All we have, ladies and gentlemen, this morning is a promise from God that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And all we have to do this morning is just follow him. So many times we try to get out in front of him. The ark, as I said, was a symbol of God's presence and his guidance. It was important that God's children spend time in his presence for guidance and direction. We make a mess of things and then ask God to straighten it out. How much better would it be if we'd ask God for direction and guidance, if we'd rise up early in the morning and before anything that in the morning? Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that happens. Shame on us. But we don't know what the situation and the obstacles and all of the things that we'll face that day, or the challenges we'll face. But wouldn't it do us well? Lord, I've never been this way before, but I know you have. And you know exactly what's down the path, and I don't. So Lord, I'm asking you for direction and guidance. Help me, Lord, not to get up, try to get in front of you. Lord, help me just to stay back sometimes and be still and just follow you and let you direct my path. Everyone in here this morning, if you were to think about what some of the things that God has done for you this past year, if you think about some of the paths that God put you on, if you think back of the direction and guidance that he's given you, when we choose and when we want him to do that for us, it's when we get off course and when we get off path that the problems and the heartaches come along. Waiting God's presence. Number three, sanctification is a must. Did you notice what God told them they had to do? Joshua said, sanctify yourself. He said, well, what in the world? Sanctify yourself. Put off anything. Clean yourself up. Put off anything that'll hinder. Basically, get some things out of your life that can hinder. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want God's blessing in our life, if we really, truly want God to lead us and guide us and direct us, when challenges come in our life, even when challenges and obstacles don't come and everything's going along just fine, there's some things that we have to do as his children. We got to get cleaned up. You know, we can come into church and we can smile and we can do all these things. We can fool people. I can fool you. But we can't fool God. If we want to go forward with the achievements and goals that will be set forth in this church, there's some things that we must do. If we truly, truly want Fellowship Baptist Church to grow and to become what God wants it to become, there's some prerequisites and there's some things in our life that we need to get out. Say, well, I don't have any, you know, grave sins in my life. It could be just nothing more than a bad attitude. Do you know a bad attitude is contagious? It's just like people working. Have you ever noticed? I've noticed this in my career. Someone comes in, they pick up a broom, and they start sweeping. And the next thing you know, somebody else is doing something else, and somebody else is doing something else, and it's kind of contagious. Then you have some that they don't care for anything. They just sit there and watch it. But here's the thing about it. Negativity, and I'll be honest with you, I have been guilty so many times. But that's not pleasing to God. If I want God to do something in my life, if I really want Him to lead me and guide me, and if I want to overcome the challenges and obstacles that I might face in 2020, and I want to do it with some joy in my heart, and I want to do it trusting God, I got to get some things out of my life. Sin prevents us from becoming victorious Christians. We don't hear too much about sin anymore, do we? All we want to hear about is how good we are. That's why so many of the churches today are doing so well. You know, you come in and, oh, God loves you. And all, He does. Thank God for that. But this book tells me, and it tells you, that there's some things that God just won't put up with. If you want to go over and read a little bit farther, you see how sin was dealt with in the camp, don't you? And it was dealt with because there was sin in the camp. We need to examine our life, confess our sins, and turn back to God. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I want God to do something in my life in the year 2020. I want to be closer to Him. I want Him to lead me and guide me and direct me. But that is up to me, just like it's up to you. Will we play church? Will we act like nothing's wrong? If there's something in our lives, and God will show it to us. The problem is, we don't want to get rid of it. We don't want to forsake it. We don't want to confess it. Well, we got to take action. We got to wait in God's presence. Sanctification is a must. But may I tell you this morning, as much as we know that we need to take action and we don't do it, for Him to know what to do right, to do good, and doeth it not, what is it? Sin. It's sin. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. You may be here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Satan wants you to procrastinate. He wants you to put it off. Oh, don't worry about that. There'll be another time. There'll be another time. There'll be another time. And there may not be another time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow. Today. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Take action. Oh, I want the Lord to do something in my life. Well, then take action. I need to take action. Lord, I truly, truly want You to do something in my life. Lord, there's some things in my life that I need to get out. There's some things that You've been dealing with me about, and I refuse to take care of that. Lord, I want to get that squared away. I want to get that settled. And I want you to lead me and guide me and direct me. So don't take action today. Decide to follow Him. Decide to trust Him. That's easy preaching and hard living sometimes. I've been right there. I've been there for the last few months. But He knows the way, because I've never been that way before. If you'd have told me 10, 15, 20 years ago that I would hear the dreaded C word, that won't happen to me. That won't happen. That'll happen to somebody else. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's like walking up to the River Jordan, and the water's raging, and there's things raging in our lives, and the water's swift, and you know good and well that if you step into that situation, that you're going to get carried away. But did you notice one thing about this? There's another thing about this. When the priest stepped into the water, God backed up that water. He backed up in a heap that water almost to the city of Adam. And the priests were standing on dry ground. And these people walked across the Jordan, the River Jordan, on dry ground. Every single one of them. And the thing about it is, that ark was there before they got there. God had already had a plan, and His plan was coming about. And when they got there, that water was backed up. And they could see what God was doing for them. You see, He got there first. That ark got there first. What was that a picture of? Well, to me, it was a picture of, no matter what I may face tomorrow, as I go down this path of life, no matter what I may face, God's already there. You may get bad news this next week. You may get word or something that's unsettling, it's challenging, but just remember this, God's already there. And He knows. I thought about this too. That city called Adam. You see, if God hadn't brought that water up and kept it in a heap, all that water could have destroyed Adam, that city. It could have wiped them out. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and he disobeyed God, and Eve disobeyed God, by one man's sin, sin entered into the world. We are all born sinners. God could have wiped Adam off the face of the earth. He could have said, I told you, I told you, I told you. And He could have just destroyed him, wiped him off. But He didn't. You see, God's mercy and love and kindness, God made a way. Amen. He made a way for us. He made a way for you, and He made a way for me. You see, He could have said, that's enough, no more. I'm going to wipe them off the face of my earth. But the Bible says He knew me. He knew me. Before the foundation of this world, He knew me. He knew what I would be. He knew what I would do. He knew how many times I'd disappoint Him. He knew how many times I'd go down the wrong path. He knew that. But he still sent Jesus to die for me. What's this year going to hold? None of us know. What kind of challenges are we going to face? None of us know. What kind of obstacles are going to be in it? We don't know. But take comfort knowing this. Just because you haven't been this way before, He's already there. He already knows. So all we need to do is make a decision. Rise up early. Have some spunk about us. Have some fortitude about us and say, Lord, I need you. I desire for you to lead me and guide me and direct me. And I need to spend more time in your presence, Lord. I need for you to speak to me through your word. I need for you to speak to me through your Holy Spirit. I need you to lead me and guide me and direct me. I want that, Lord. I want that. May I ask you this morning, do you want that? Do you truly want that this morning? Do I truly want that this morning? Oh, Brother Randall, that's the reason I'm in church today. That's not the reason. That's a lame excuse. I'm sorry. Why are we here this morning? Why are we here? It's to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For Him to speak to us and lead us and guide us and direct us and love on us. I'm so glad when He decides to love on me a little bit. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Brother Earl Wright and I were talking here just a few weeks ago, and I'll finish. If you're saved this morning, thank God. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Not of anything that I've done. It's all what He did for me. I put my faith and trust in Him. If you're not saved this morning, you're on your way to hell. You're on your road to hell. I say that with all the kindness and love in my heart. You see, I sat right over here for about 10 years. Lost. Church member. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Visitation. I worked in the Sunday school. But I was lost. Oh, thank God. Thank God, Brother Tim, for the evening that I decided I would not care what other people thought about me. I would not care what other people might say, Brother Bill. We were having just before revival, we were meeting over here with how to deal with people when they came forward. And I knew I couldn't deal with anybody because I hadn't dealt with myself. So I went up to the pastor and told him, I said, I need to be saved. And the Lord saved me. But if you're here this morning, and you may be a church member, you may be faithful, but are you saved? You see, if you're not, one day you'll stand before God, the great white throne judgment. We will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ for those that are saved. This morning, you're either here or you're over there. You need to get over here. And then one day when we stand before Him, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear Him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Obstacles will come. Challenges will come. They may come before today's over. We had a dear sister this past Wednesday, two weeks ago, came into church and found out that her brother was dead. I stood in that very back there 23 years ago with my mother sitting right here. And I had Brother Franklin came to me and got me and took me to the back and said, there's a police officer who wants to see you. And I got the word, just like she did, that my brother was dead. You don't know what today's going to hold. I don't know what today's going to hold, ladies and gentlemen. But we can face it with certainty, just as Joshua and the people, the children of Israel, when God parted that river back and they all walked across on dry ground. You see, they had never been that way before, but He had. Where are you at this morning? Where am I at? Is the Lord speaking to your heart? So I just don't, what people think about me. Does it really matter what people think about us? Or does it matter more what God thinks about us? I'll answer that, and you know the question. You know the answer to the question. It's more about what He knows and what He thinks. May the Lord help us as we think about the challenges of this next year and how to reach the goal of being more of what God wants us to be and being more like His dear Son.